Captain Wilmore, Butch, you've accomplished some incredible things in the air, in space, and sometimes perhaps unexpectedly. You're best known for being one of the astronauts stuck in space, and you have an accomplished military career. I was reading about how many carrier landings you did. That was amazing. But looking back even further, was there a time in your childhood that you felt a calling or a fascination with flight or with space?
I would say, like any other young, kid growing up in America, and you see on television various aspects of our human spaceflight program, I was no different. I mean, my brother and I made a cardboard cutout of a spaceship, when we were little bitty, and, flew places in our imagination. That was just like any other kid. But I was not like, this is what I'm going to do. No, I was not like that. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was into sports more than anything else. So that was kind of the pattern for me. But eventually, I got to college, electrical engineering degree, joined the Navy, went to test pilot program, got a couple of master's degrees, and kind of had the foundation, the background for what NASA was looking for, and I started making an application. And that's when it took a while. I mean, they turned me down several times, but eventually I wore them down, and they did eventually take me, obviously.
You were
but
persistent.
It was not like that. Yeah, persistent, exactly right. Persistent is the key.
So back to the more current times, you were on a space mission, supposed to take maybe 8 days or so, but that turned into 9 months. Some people are aware of this, some may not be. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, what happened? That's the key. So when we were docking to the space station, our spacecraft started to experience thruster failures, and they were all pointed in the same direction. We have 28 total thrusters that are pointing in various directions, 8 of them point in the aft direction. And we wound up losing a total of 5 of the 8 aft pointing thrusters. And because of the ones that we lost, we actually lost the ability to fully control the spacecraft in full 6 degrees of freedom. We got 3 degrees in attitude, 3 degrees in translation for 6 full degrees. And we, for a period, lost the ability to control that fully. I was on the controls manually. And I think to say it was a handful is kind of an understatement. It was quite challenging to maintain the control and maintain the attitude that we needed to have to point towards the space station, because we have sensors that see the space station and build a digital picture. And I couldn't drop that. If we dropped that lock, then that would have been the end of our automated rendezvous capability. So I had to keep it pointed there. I had to keep the distance, and it was a handful. So anyway, we eventually recovered thrusters enough to where we could dock successfully. And then we went through the process of trying to determine if we could get back in the spacecraft and come back to Earth. And I knew before we ever docked that chances were slim because of the situation, how the spacecraft was handling and how it felt and how it even sounded. Because it sounded, the thrusters were firing so fast, it was like machine gun fire. So that's kind of the summary of what happened to the spacecraft, the what happened. The why it happens is a completely different topic. And then, of course, the stay on space station is what resulted the 9.5 months before we actually finally came back to Earth.
What was it like for 9.5 months?
I would say that through it all, because my foundation is not in what I have or what I do. It's my foundation is in the Lord. It's in God's word. And his word is true. I know it to be true. It's absolutely true. And therefore, I believe it when I read it. And just like Paul said, he was content because he knew he was in the middle where the Lord's will would have him, even during very difficult things that occurred in his life. I felt the same way. I felt content, even through the unknown and the extension and uncertainties that came along with it. Still content through it all, because I know the Lord is working out his plan and his purpose for his glory. And that's a foundational truth of Scripture. He is sovereign. He works providentially in all of our lives. And that being a foundational truth of Scripture, then that brings contentment, especially when you have eternal hope. There's nothing that can take that away. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He has forgiven me of my sin. Sorry about that. I have a dog that just barked.
It's all right.
Hopefully you can cut that out. But she's Emmy. No bark. Anyway, so when you have that eternal hope, there's nothing can ever take that away. And that brings contentment.
So during your stay in space, no doubt you were in prayer. You were probably in awe of what you were seeing. Did you ever sense God speaking to you or putting, you know, a download in your heart to encourage you?
All the time, through his word. I mean, he speaks to us through his word. I tied in, was able, my church streams their services. And so I was able to tie in. It's not full time. I mean, it's sporadic at times, but I gain strength from hearing the preaching of the word, to study the word, reading the word. And he speaks to me through that. Of course, I can see the amazing sights, amazing visuals from space. You can't even put them into words adequately. And that screams of a creator, screams of an almighty God who is in control, like I said, of all things. And just in many ways, you've felt fortunate to be there, fortunate to be safely at the space station. And the extension was not... It's hard to say it wasn't a downer. It was a change of pace. Things at home that we planned obviously couldn't do, but that's part of the business that I've been in since I started, because I've done nothing but military and NASA since I left college, and I've been extended on deployment. I've had things change, plans change. When you work for the government in that fashion, that's just part of life, and this was no different than that. So my family, though it was a change, it was something that we talk about and prepare ourselves mentally for these things in life that happen, and they came through it very well. I'm very proud of my daughters and how they handled it all.
And I understand that you are an elder in your church in Tennessee, and that you had some interaction not only with your family but with your church community.
I did. As an elder, you're a shepherd, right? You're supposed to shepherd the flock. That is hard to do from space, but as much as the communication path allowed it, I did call several of our members, some of them that were struggling with personal losses and also sickness and those type of things. I tried to tie and let them know that I was praying for them, there for them, even though not physically there, but spiritually there for them. And so I tried to maintain that interaction as much as I possibly could. And again, being unexpectedly deterred elsewhere, so to speak. But that's part of it. That's part of it. You know, we're elders. We're on the phone. We're visiting. We're doing those things. That's just a part of what shepherding is. And when you can't physically visit, you can do it with a phone call or a video call. I was grateful for those capabilities.
And you also were able to talk to your family.
Yes, sir. Technology is amazing. Even on space station now with the satellite links, I could do video calls anytime we had the correct satellite coverage. And that's really super. I mean, that's a special thing to be able to do, to connect from space visually like that. That's the first time. The other two times I flew in space, it was not like that. Technology has advanced to the point where we can even do it from space station. And that is, well, that's a big blessing.
You mentioned earlier what you saw in space. You had this daily view of planet Earth. Did the beauty and the complexity, and you're a man with, you're interested in science and flight and how things are put together. Did this in any way change or enhance or widen your appreciation of our Creator?
I will say it this way. I did not need to go to space to learn anything about my Lord, because His word is sufficient. It's all sufficient. But certainly, as I can travel in this world and I see sights, and I'm just amazed at the variety the Lord put in this creation of this earth. And Isaiah 45:18 said that He created to be inhabited. And you can certainly see that variety from space. It's given me a unique perspective of my Lord and His creative power, not just creative power, but His sustaining power. And that is a unique perspective I wouldn't have had elsewhere. But I had to know my Lord and Savior. I did not need to have that because, like I said, the word is sufficient.
When you actually return to Earth, boots on the ground, you've done this before, but after this very long stay in space, were you different?
Physically, yes. Your body is not accustomed to holding up your structure in zero gravity because it doesn't have to. And though we work out literally 2.5 hours a day, every single day, I mean, I never did. In 9.5 months, I worked out every day. I never took a day off, because your body recuperates without the pull of gravity on it, and you're ready to go the next day. So to combat the muscle atrophy and calcium decalcification of the bones, we have to do that. So I came back strong, but your body's not accustomed. We can't work out some of the smaller muscles in our back, and your body's not accustomed to holding up your structure. So those little muscles get very tense as you walk and move and do things. And also, where my spine connected into my, I guess, my pelvis in the back, where that comes together, that was tender for almost 7 months. And for whatever reason, it just different than the other trips I took to space. And it took a while. It was almost like it was injured. I don't think it was. It was just getting back accustomed to gravity. But that took a long time to go away. And I'm grateful it is, because I couldn't bend over without pretty significant pain. And I kept dropping things constantly. It seemed like I was always dropping something and having to bend over and pick it up. And that back pain would let me know it was there. So anyway, that's kind of one of the processes of recovery.
I suppose you ate pretty well in space, you know, sufficient food and so forth. But when you got back to Earth, did you have any craving, anything you just had to have?
I don't think I've told this, but I'll share it with you. That satellite coverage we have, we could actually tie into television. I don't watch much television, but I did catch a commercial. What was it? It was a Chick-fil-A sandwich that had jalapenos and pimento cheese on chicken. And I thought, wow, that looks good. We got extended, and I think they stopped making those in November of 2024. But my brother and my wife bought some and froze them. So when I got back, I tasted that rascal. It was pretty good, too. It was just as good as it looked on television. That wasn't something I craved, but it was something I thought would be interesting to try. And it was, like I said, it was really good.
I had one, too, during that time, and it was good. Thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
I don't think I've shared that before.
My pleasure, as they say. Now, you recently retired from NASA, and you've written a book about your various journeys. Tell us what's in that book.
Yeah, so the book. I learned that when you publish a book, the publisher picks the title, because the publisher would put some funds down up front, and he wants it to stick out on a shelf. So the publisher titled it Stuck in Space. That's what we were known for. So it seems like an appropriate title. Though, because I know scripture, I wasn't stuck. Nobody gets stuck anywhere if you know the Lord. You may feel like you're stuck in life situations, but the Lord, like I said earlier, is working out his plan and his purposes for his glory and our good if we believe. And so any situation you're in, you're not stuck. The Lord has placed you there to learn, and again, that his glory might be revealed and prevail. And so that's the name of the book. I wrote the book. Actually, I had started writing a couple of stories before I ever launched, because my wife and I had our daughters. We were in our 40s, and we'd lived a life before they were born. So I was going to give a little bit of a storybook to them about us. And while I was on station, I wanted to use my spare time, though there wasn't a lot of spare time, I wanted to use it with intent. And so I started writing and kept writing. And I got contacted by, I can't even tell you the number of publishers contacted me through my church, through my brother, through various means while I was still on space station. But the guy I went to publish it with, I'd already written a book with a friend. It was a different kind of a military faith-based book, and he had published it. So I went with him to publish this one. So the reason I wrote it was for my daughters. The reason I published it is because of the message. I think the message shows hope in the trials of life. It shows God is sovereign. It shows that he's working providentially in your life. And because of that, there's always hope in the now. And it certainly points to hope for all eternity that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's the only option, only way that God the Father can be appeased for his wrath against sin, because he poured out his wrath on his son for my sin. And that is the gospel that saves. And it points to that as well. So written for my daughters, published for the message of hope, hope in the now and hope for all eternity.
Right now, there is so much attention being paid to the moon and even to Mars. What do you think lies ahead?
That's a good question. Before I answer that, let me just real quick finish up the one comment I wanted to make about the book too. You know, it tells life stories, and it is written, I think, in such a fashion that makes it intriguing. There's stories, many stories that go back to my days in the Navy, flying combat missions and doing those types of things. And it weaves in and out of this Starliner narrative to tell the story of the Lord's sovereignty and his providence. And that's the full message of the book. So, and the future, wow. What does the future hold? Spaceflight? I think, obviously, we are heading back. We circled the lunar surface there, the moon, just recently. That's the first step to go more beyond low Earth orbit. We've been in low Earth orbit for 54 years. It's been that long since we actually left low Earth orbit. And now we've reached out beyond. Eventually, we'll go to the surface of the moon. And all of this glorifies our Lord because he's the one that gives us the understanding, the ability to do all of these things to begin with, as he's increased our knowledge and opened up understanding of things that before we just did not understand. So he is glorified in all of it. And where will we go? Wherever the Lord would lead us. Beyond the moon is really difficult. I mean, Mars and those locations, just because of the sheer distance, it is really, really difficult to do. And I know we've been talking about going to Mars for decades, and eventually perhaps we will, but we've got quite a ways to go before we have the technology, the understanding, the capabilities in place to be able to do that and do it successfully for a number of reasons. I won't go into all those now, but that is hard. But you got to take the first steps. And right now, towards the moon, build a location on this lunar surface where we're operating away from our planet, though it's only 3 to 4 days away. It's still away. And we learn how to do that well, and we go beyond there. So as the Lord leads and the Lord allows, that's where we're at.
All right. So I understand that you have been taking some time to share your faith on the road, speaking engagements, churches, and so forth. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. The Lord has opened up many opportunities. I get many requests daily almost, and that's really as I thought about leaving NASA and a career serving my country, I went into that with the feeling of wanting to serve my country and also to wherever the Lord would have me serve. And now I think the only thing that's in my heart is whatever the Lord would have me do. I don't have any personal goals or desires other than serving him. And right now he's given me opportunity to share. I just got back from the Amazon River on a trip, going into villages, remote villages, sharing the gospel. And I tell you one thing I'll share with your listeners. 100% of the individuals in those villages, every single person I talked to, I mean 100%, they had a works-based righteousness understanding where they had to do this, they had to do that, they had to act a certain way and not act a certain way. And when I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, that really man can do nothing, that he paid it all, he did it all on the cross, they were in awe. They said, we've never heard that. And so the message of the truth of God's word and Jesus Christ as Lord needs to be shared at every opportunity in every place that the Lord will give us that option. And I'm just grateful that the Lord, even now, has given me that opportunity because the world needs Jesus.
You're sharing the freedom we can find in Christ. All right. Butch Wilmore, an amazing guy. I really appreciate you sharing your story and your heart with us. And God's got a lot more for you to do. We'll keep an eye on you. Thank you very much.
All for his glory. Yeah, all for his glory. I appreciate that. And I just pray for the health and the capability that he provides. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless.